1.7 million loans and $350 billion later, and the Small Business Administration has run out of emergency money. Congress and the Trump administration are getting ready to refill it. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. Congressional leaders appear close to a deal with the Trump administration on a bill to pump more money into a very popular small business loan program. They met over the weekend with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Congress could vote on any legislation this week. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins me now live with the details. Hey, Nancy, what is in this deal?
Hey, Sabri. Well, it looks like there would be about $310 billion more for paycheck protection loans. And last week, money for these loans ran out. They are supposed to be mainly for businesses with fewer than 500 employees. They don't have to be paid back if they're used for expenses like payroll. It looks like there will also be more money for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. That's the Small Business Administration loan that's up to $10,000. And this is for small businesses that are experiencing temporary difficulties. It does not have to be repaid. It's also mainly for companies with fewer than 500 workers.
So is this money in this bill just for small businesses or?
No, Democrats have been pushing for more money for hospitals and state and local governments. At this point, it appears there will be $75 billion more for hospitals and $25 billion to expand testing for the novel coronavirus. It doesn't look like this bill will include any money, though, for state or local governments. They're hurting because sales tax revenue is down, and in many states, the deadline for state income taxes was pushed back.
And what is the timeline here?
Well, last night, President Trump said they're close to a deal. Yesterday on CNN, Secretary Mnuchin said they've made a lot of progress. The Senate is set to be in session briefly today. House members have reportedly been told they might have to return to the Capitol in a few days.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you. As I think many of us can guess, demand for delivery is pretty high right now, and not just for groceries and dinner. Costco and Instacart are expanding their partnership to include prescription drug delivery in seven states in Washington, D.C. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab takes a look.
Delivery is king. People don't want to run errands if they don't have to.
Look, we're living in the COVID-19 world.
Bunny Ellerin directs the Healthcare and Pharmaceutical Management Program at Columbia University.
It's virtually impossible for many people to get to a Costco.
Costco isn't always the most convenient pharmacy. It has less than 800 stores in the U.S., while CVS and Walgreens have around 10,000 each. Costco doesn't want to lose existing customers to independent drugstores and chains, and it could grab new ones with the convenience of Instacart. Adam Fine is CEO of Drug Channels Institute.
Large chain pharmacies are under attack from a number of directions.
Amazon has its own service, PillPack, and startups like Capsule are growing. But Fine says the coronavirus won't change the industry overnight. 90% of prescription purchases are filled in person. And that's in Costco's best interest once things go back to normal, because you could walk in for a prescription and walk out with a big screen TV. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
U.S. crude prices are down around 26%, the lowest price in at least 20 years. Traders say that's due to low demand and the lack of storage for all the unsold oil.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
So let's take that restaurant example we just heard about a minute ago. For every restaurant, every essential business open right now, there is an essential supply chain, a chain of maybe dozens more businesses behind it that also have to function. Each link, a potential vulnerability. So take, for example, meat. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck looked into concerns around the country's meat supply.
There are a lot of steps in the system that brings a cow to a dinner plate, and there are increasing concerns about a linchpin in that process, meatpacking plants.
Yeah, it is critical that we sort of keep those somewhat isolated from any outbreak.
That's Eric Belasco. He's an associate professor of agriculture economics at Montana State University.
You can imagine, especially some of the larger packing plants, if they were to shut down, you'd see a remarkable impact on the market for beef.
You see, these facilities that turn a cow into burger or steaks have been consolidated over the years. There are fewer of them. In 1990, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported about 1,200 federally inspected cattle plants. By 2019, that number had been cut nearly in half to 666. Those plants that remain handle a lot more meat. There are also many more people in a single facility who can get sick and pass that along to other workers and shutter a plant. Several plants have already temporarily closed because of COVID-19. And Belasco says when that happens on a large scale,
then we would see prices increase. We'd also see a lower supply. So we might see less beef on the shelves, and we would see it at a higher price.
Chelsea Good is with the Livestock Marketing Association. She says they learned what a closure could mean last August when a fire broke out at a Tyson plant.
And we saw that just really have some negative effects on our supply chain and our pricing for cattle.
Still, she says the hope is that plants can keep operating during the pandemic, even though there are still concerns over large-scale closures.
That's certainly the kind of thing that keeps people awake at night.
Meat producers have already faced uncertainty because of the trade war in the last few years. Earlier this year, the USDA estimated the beef market was on track to produce 27.7 million pounds. But now, it's hard to predict just how much will be processed thanks to the pandemic. In Boise, Idaho, I'm Madeline Beck for Marketplace.
How is COVID-19 changing the way we think about privacy, working from home, even how we manage our health? We cover the intersection of tech and the new economy every day on our podcast, Marketplace Tech. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.